Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and the dancing Kelly Santer here in the First Bank studios of Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson, he's in the First Bank studio over in Laurel. Wherever you are, we're glad you're with us. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of our show and Southern Miss Athletics, and a great place to take your family for dinner, lunch, 7 days a week. They'll cater your next event as well. If you got something special upcoming, make sure you include Dickies. It's Tuesday. We always talk to our good friend Lee Roberts, color analyst for the Golden Eagle Radio Network, former quarterback for Southern Miss. And Lee, another tough weekend. I'm going to start out by asking you this, and you know, football is a team sport, but it really doesn't matter how good a quarterback you are. Doesn't matter how good a running back you are. Don't things begin and end on the line of scrimmage? And you really have to have pass protection and you have to have run blocking from your offensive line to be successful.
You know, you do. I mean, you said it. And that's what Will Hall talks about. You know, when he puts together a team, he builds it around his quarterback and then his offensive line. And, you know, you do have to have a quarterback, and we're on our third start of the year, which is, you know, unfortunate, but not to take anything away from what Jake Lang is doing. He's playing as just about as good as he can play under the circumstances when we're not running the ball effectively, and obviously as many sacks as we've had. You know, and every sack, although it looks like it is on the line, I mean, yeah, we're not playing great up there for sure, but we have, especially last week, the week before last rather, you know, a couple of those were, you know, running back missed the blocking assignment, gives up the sack. Quarterback holds the ball, doesn't go through his appropriate reads. I mean, there's a lot of that does go through this. So just, I do want everyone to know, I mean, it's not all on the offensive line. But, yeah, the majority of the problem is there, man. We've been hurt there as well. We've shuffled guys around. I really felt like the line that played at Alabama played probably their best game. And since then, we've kind of fallen backwards as well. But, you know, those are issues that are obviously being looked at and worked on. And I just think the more experience that this team has, the better they will be. But yeah, we definitely want to have better play up front.
One thing that really frustrates me as a fan is I watch the defensive kids play. I think they're playing well enough to win. And I think the defense is just playing with a lot of courage, a lot of energy, and they're doing their part.
No, they are, and special teams too. I mean, we're making some plays in special teams. We're pinning guys down inside the 5 yard line. Defensively, we're making plays. But yeah, it is a team game, and you've got to play well in all three phases. And when the offense, you know, has a lot of three and outs, I mean, looking at, you know, Saturday's numbers, you know, on third down we were 4 of 13. You know, so they're getting off the field quick on third downs, and you know the defense is having to get back out there. So it puts a lot of pressure on their defense. And so, but we are, I mean, all in all, playing really, really good defensively. You know, I think if you take away the Alabama game as far as points given up and yards given up, I mean, we're still looked at one of the top defenses in the country. So super proud of what Alistair Armstrong has done on that side.
Lee, you remember a couple of years ago when Shannon Dawson was the offensive coordinator, he was the punchline of every joke, you know, knock, knock, who's there, Shannon Dawson. People making fun of the, you know, the wide receiver screens and the bubble screens and things like that. And his answer to everything was, is we have to design an offense that will protect our quarterback, number one. And if you don't have an offensive line that can block, we have to put in a lot of things that the quarterback can do with a 2 or 3 step drop. With the inefficiency of the offensive line at this point, and look, we're getting into the meat of the season now. You can't experiment too much more. Would you see a change of the way the offense looks to do a lot more two- and three-step drops, the quick hitters. And because if all you're going to be able to do is pass the ball, that seems to be the logical way to go. But, again, I've never coached a game of football. Your thoughts?
No, I mean, I agree. And, again, you got to kind of look at what's happened to us offensively. I mean, we had an offense that was geared towards Trey Lowe and Ty Keyes. I mean, all offseason, spring, early part of the fall, I mean, that was what it was. I mean, those two guys, you know, could move around the pocket that would create things that a Jake Lang can't create. So he's become more of a pocket passer. And so I think the offense is having to evolve around that. And whether it's adding in those bubble screens, I agree, you do have to get the ball out of your hands extremely fast. But two, Jake has to know, you know, where the pressure is. The running backs have to know, hey, who did I pick up on the linebacker blitz? So, you know, everyone, and maybe it's a communication between Jake and the running back that may needs to be fixed as well. But, again, I'm not putting any blame on a young quarterback. I think he's playing extremely well under the circumstances. I just think as 11 guys move forward, I think 11 guys have to do their job. And all it takes is for one guy on that offense to not do their job, and you know, you're going to have a negative play. And that's what we've seen a lot of.
Yeah, one more question before we throw it to Luke. I mean, if the defense of other teams knows that you're having trouble running the ball, describe how that might make their job easier in defending your offense overall. If I'm not overstating the obvious, but...
No, I mean, as teams see us on film, they see that we're a team that, you know, has not run the ball effectively. You know, not saying that Frank Gore hasn't been involved in our offense. I think for 2 weeks now in a row, he's gone over 100 yards for all purpose.
Right.
Because we are trying to get the ball out of our hands to the running back in space. But, yeah, not being able to run the ball up the middle, I think we're averaging just a little over, or Saturday, a little over 2 yards per carry. You know, and then not being able to score on the ground, too. I even said Saturday during the game, I was kind of hoping that on that goal line run that we would have given it to Frank and he had an opportunity to get in the end zone. Here's a young guy that has just worked his tail off for 2 years and, you know, really nothing to show for it except one touchdown. I'd love for his confidence, you know, to see him get into that end zone. And obviously, again, the obvious is we've got to open up holes and create opportunities there.
Luke?
Lee, a couple questions for me. First, one thing that stood out, penalties. Golden Eagles keep shooting themselves in the foot. It's kind of been a theme all year long. You're halfway through, and there really hasn't been much change in the penalties you're committing every game.
Yeah, 13 penalties on Saturday. And, I mean, you can't win games like that. One thing you want to do is eliminate the penalties, the mental errors, and win the turnover battle. I mean, regardless of how you play, if those two categories are in your favor, more likely than not, you're going to be in the game to the end. And we know going forward that, you know, most of the games we play are going to be a one score or a two score game. So if we can be in it in the fourth quarter, we have a chance to do something. But you're right. I agree. You do have to eliminate the penalties. And I'm sure that's something, you know, that Will Hall's talking to these guys about. I mean, I think Saturday there was a time where we had two offsides penalty, false starts back to back. So you go from a first and 10 scenario to a second and 20 or first and 20 just like that. I mean, that just really changes the way you call your plays and really puts pressure on your young quarterback.
Last one from me. If you're Will Hall right now, he said in the post game press conference the other night, same song, different verse. How does he have to lead going forward? To A, admit the obvious, and B, still try to, you know, salvage a season with a few more wins and not, you know, go 0 for the rest of the way.
You know, I mean, he is in a scenario where he's never really been before. I mean, he's been places where they've been very, very successful. But where he has been is playing a freshman quarterback every, you know, time he's had the opportunity to put a freshman in because of different scenarios. That freshman has excelled. They've gone on to be, you know, freshman of the year or conference player of the year or something. So he knows there is potential. And I know Will Hall, I mean, he's a leader. He's enthused. He's got all the intangibles that you need as a head coach. And the guys are following suit. It's just things just aren't getting there on game day on Saturday. Again, a missed assignment will ruin a drive. I think Saturday an interception stalled a drive. The fumble return for a touchdown was a huge thing against Southern Miss, and then obviously getting stopped inside the goal line. So, I mean, there's three different scenarios there where, you know, if that doesn't happen or if we score on one of those, you know, we're right there in that game and possibly have a chance to win. So, you know, that's what you got to do is take away the little things, you know, figure out what we are doing well, continue to do it, and then fix the little things that are hurting drives.
All right, Lee, you got a few more minutes. You can stay with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Lee Roberts is with us, color analyst for the radio network, Golden Eagle Radio Network. Of course, a conference-winning quarterback for the Golden Eagles. We're going to continue our conversation with Lee on the other side of the break. You're tuned into the Eagle Hour, and we are glad you are. Stay with us. Thank Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net for their support of the Eagle Hour. We're grateful to them for that, and we hope that the next time you have Southern Miss apparel on your shopping list, Kelly Santa Christmas is like 90 days away, 2XL would be ideal for me. You can go to Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. And Lee, don't forget to send Kelly your sizes too. He's very, very generous at Christmas, believe it or not.
I will. Kelly, I appreciate that, man. I wear large in most Adidas stuff, so.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Have you gotten all that written down, Sander?
Yeah, well, and I am very generous at Christmas. Nobody gets more X's in front of their L's than I do.
So Lee, Kelly made a point to me off air, and I'd like to get your take on this. Obviously the season now, we know that a bowl game is unlikely, and we know that, you know, the team is unlikely to play in the conference championship game. Would it be time to tell these kids to relax, have fun the rest of the year, just enjoy the fact that you're a college football player, and take maybe more of a relaxed approach, and maybe take some pressure off of these kids?
You know, and if I know, and I haven't asked this or said this to Coach Will Hall, but I'm sure at some point he's already kind of said that to the team, because I mean it is all about having fun. I mean, obviously the wins and losses is what, you know, matters at the end of the day, because, you know, that's where the coaches get paid to win games. But if you're not playing the game, and if you're not having fun playing the game, then there's no need to play. But let's be straight, it is a business, and you do have to go to work regardless if you're having fun or not. I mean, that's what you're there to do, is to get an education and play football in that order. But you're right. When you're not having fun, and that may be why we're seeing some of these guys step away. Arvin Fletcher just stepped away last week. And, you know, just things like that. It is a grind. It's a tough grind. And when things aren't going your way, I mean, obviously adversity, you've got to be able to overcome. And It's a life lesson for these guys, and that's why I love sports so much. I love teamwork, because it does teach you life lessons, and people that are involved in it, I think they take away a lot from it. But obviously, at the end of the day, winning is much more fun. So,
yeah, but when the expectations are such, and there were a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, that expected more of this team. I've been in golf tournaments before where I was where I thought I had been playing pretty well, and was in a golf tournament and expected myself to perform better than I did. But after the first four or five holes, I wasn't hitting it very well, and I finally just said, you know what, whatever. I'm not going to win this thing, so let's just, you know. It was amazing how when you took that attitude, it seems to translate into better production.
You know, yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I mean, you've got to kind of have that attitude, and whether the slogan "attitude is everything" kind of talks about that, I'm not really sure. But you know, you got to have the right attitude. You've got to just mean, it is about having fun. So, I mean, I hope these guys are. But again, they know they got to show up every day and get work done. But trying to see yourself get better from week one to week two. You know, now we're midway through the season. You want to see game seven be better than game six. But, yeah, when you do, just kind of relax. You kind of take a step back, realize, hey, we're just going to go out and have some fun. I mean, I think you might play some better. And I think that's kind of what happened last year, too, that things these kids went through with multiple coaching changes. By the end of the year, I felt like they were having fun and playing pretty well. And, again, this team, they just need to – they need to get another win. They need to feel like – they need to know what it feels like to get a win and to try to get things going the right track. And once they do, I think things are going to be okay.
Back when you played, the tradition was such that – that you went into every game with total confidence, and you correct me anywhere that I'm wrong here, you were able to go into every game with the expectation to win because that's what had been done in the past, that's what the history was, and that's what your team had experienced. In all honesty, a lot of these kids, they haven't had the benefit of enjoying that experience.
No, outside of high school, I mean, they haven't. I mean, again, look at what some of these kids did in high school, and now – you know, they haven't won many games. And we got multiple guys on our team that were on undefeated seasons in high school. And, you know, how quickly you do forget how to win and what it feels like to win.
And how important is that, Lee, as a player?
Oh, I mean, it's totally important. I mean, you know, winning and playing well is all contagious at whatever sport you're doing. And, you know, when you can't find that win. And I'm telling you, all it's going to take is to go out Saturday and, you know, shock everybody and play well and maybe steal a win against UAB. And then you get an off week and then you just start to kind of build some momentum and build some confidence. It's all around being confident when you walked out on that field, kind of to your point a while ago.
Right. Luke, got anything else for Lee while we got him?
Yeah, one more question, Lee, for me. How much of what we're seeing right now is in the psyche of what took place last year? You got more wins last year, you know, and hopefully Eagles can pull off some and at least match that or maybe get to four, who knows. But how much of what we're seeing right now is because of the psyche from what they had to go through last year?
I mean, it may be. I don't think that's, you know, why we're doing what we're doing or not playing like we're playing. I mean, because it's a whole new staff. It's a whole new system on both sides of the football. So, I mean, I don't think that's in the back of their mind. I mean, as athletes, you're taught to, when the game's over, win or lose, enjoy it. And then the next day, forget about it because the next week is coming, the next opponent's coming. So I hope that's not in the back of those guys' minds. I hope they've kind of moved on from that and really forgot about the first half of the season. You know, it's hard to believe that half the season is over. So now you almost have the mindset, hey, let's just win the second half. And you can. You can go out there and win four or five games and really salvage a season. But it's not going to happen if they don't go and correct some things and play like they need to on Saturdays.
What? Well, I'm of the mindset, guys, that you got to give this coaching staff far more time than they've had now. I think you have to give them 2 or 3 years to evaluate their program. Am I wrong there? Last question to you, Lee.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, and UTEP is a prime example. I mean, they've got more wins this year than maybe in the past 3 years combined, and this is year four for Dana Dimble, and yeah, I mean, you can't evaluate Coach Will Hall and his staff off of 6 games or even 1 year. I mean, it does take time. I mean, he's got to get his guys in here. It wasn't a full recruiting class. I mean, really, recruiting is going to be taking place signing day in December. And if you talk to him, he'll tell you that we have a lot of great guys coming in, and he's going to expect even more. And you can see right now, I mean, there are young guys playing, and they're going to continue to be young guys playing until – you know, we build the team like we need. So, really, you can't get a true look at, you know, Coach Hall until year two or year three. I mean, it's, you know, Fedora didn't win right off. Munkin didn't win right off. And, you know, and you can't expect Will Hall to either.
And really, if there is a silver lining to this, and follow me on this, you guys, the silver lining is that it almost cannot get any worse than it is. So, your litmus test from here on out is any improvement. All right, let's just give the Eagles the benefit of the doubt. Say they beat North Texas and FIU, because I think odds are those would be the only teams that would be pretty close as far as point spreads go. So you give them 3 wins. All right, well, then next year you know, you maybe see 5 wins. And then the next year, you know what I'm saying? Right. It can't get any worse. This is as low, this is as bad as it gets.
Right.
So let's look at those incremental improvements and not over expect, and then in 3 or 4 years revisit
and
the
let's
situation.
Give the coaching staff an opportunity, the time they need to develop the program that they promised us when they came here.
And I don't want to second guess Will Hall, because that's you know, I've never, like I said, I've never coached a game before, but perhaps he and his staff did think that there was a little more talent there than there was, you know, until they actually unwrapped the candy bar. You can't see exactly what you've got, right? The old box of chocolates, like Forrest Gump says.
Right.
And when they finally got there, they're going, maybe we weren't truly as good as we thought we were.
Lee Roberts, we appreciate your input every week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week about UAB, and let's see how that one turns out.
Yeah, absolutely, man, and I appreciate you guys staying positive, and that's exactly what it's going to take. I mean, you know, supporting this coaching staff and this team, because they are, Kelly, and they are going to get better. So appreciate you guys.
All right, Lee. Thank you. Lee Roberts, everybody.
And
he knows a little about winning.
And have you noticed that, Bob? I have noticed that the fan base, who has been notoriously fickle over the years, I have seen the fan base be patient. You know, patient. They understand the people who really matter, the ones who are going to pay the bills, the ones who are going to be out there tailgating no matter what, who are going to be at the games. I think a large majority of those people are on board and totally get it.
Kelly, I bet you know this. I learned a long time ago in coaching kids that when you have really good players, you're a better coach than when you don't have the really good players. And you got to give him time to find those players.
Or at least for him to take responsibility, saying, okay, I invited those guys in. So I made, you know, I didn't evaluate perhaps as well as I should have.
Right, but let's give him time.
Of course, of course.
All right, what's going to happen with the conference? When are we going to start seeing some movement in conference play?
Luke Johnson, I think, might know, Bob.
Luke has been studying up on that, got his computer. I guarantee he's not in front of me, but I guarantee that computer's not 6 inches away from his hands. And he'll have the latest right after this.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Third segment brought to you by 4th Street. They're located on 4th Street. Hattiesburg. It wasn't Hattiesburg. It was a hamburger steak today for $8.95. Chef Luke over there cooking it up every single day. I knew I had an affinity and drawn to the lunch at 4th Street. But anyway, trivia coming up next week. 4th Street is the place to go. I think they're showing Major League playoffs right now. I think Houston's playing.
Yeah, the Braves. The Braves may be headed to the World. Well, one step at a time. But
don't put in that closer.
Yeah.
Talk to Trey Sutton about that. Trey's either tweeting about the new field at West Jones or he's tweeting about how terrible Atlanta's closer is. That's usually when you follow Trey Sutton. Anyway, 4th Street, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour, Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, little bow tie, I should say. We'll talk about football here and a little more with some quotes from Coach Hall and Coach Armstrong. But Will Hall announced today, guys, we have added a free agent signing to the football team. Former Pearl High School quarterback Jake Smithart, Will Hall said today, has been, quote, claimed off waivers. And what he meant was he has been cleared through the compliance, and he is now the third-string quarterback for Southern Miss. He was actually a student coach, and you go back to 2017, completed 70% of his passes, threw for close to 2,800 yards, 29 touchdowns. So Jake Smithart, the newest member of the football team, he will serve as the third-string quarterback behind Jake Lang and T. Webb. So Yeah, just it's one of those situations, just the perfect storm at the loss of a quarterback with a at the quarterback position with a slim line and an offensive system that needs both. All right, let's talk some conference realignment. Kelly, just kind of recap real quick in our to our audience what you reported yesterday, because it plays into what I'm going to share about, you know, a supposed meeting yesterday, what CBS Sports reported.
CBS Sports reported yesterday that a Zoom call was conducted to all the presidents of Conference USA institutions talking about a possible super conference realigned that would take members of the Sun Belt, Conference USA, and the AAC and put them into more regional categories, like we used as an example yesterday, the Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas schools would all be included in one of those you know, the way that it would be put together. But the AAC, a spokesman said they're not at all interested in anything like that. And the Sun Belt Conference Commissioner himself said they are not in favor of any type of conglomerate or merging of any conferences. He says they like where they are. So really, though the conference presidents, the institution presidents are supposed to meet face-to-face, have the presentation face-to-face next Monday, you have to wonder if it's really even necessary if the other two conferences involved have already said they're not interested.
Yeah, so this is a Conference USA deal, and it's intended, I think, and then from what I've been hearing, to keep Southern Miss in place from the Conference USA perspective. You know, the Sun Belt, we have heard from different sources and different varieties, even on social media. There's really two schools that keep being mentioned in a transition from Conference USA to the Sun Belt. That would be Southern Miss and then Marshall. So, you know, on the Sun Belt side, if you look at their geographical map, Mississippi's the one place they don't have a team. That's why Southern Miss makes so much sense with that. They want to increase that footprint. And the reason you haven't been hearing teams like Louisiana Tech and UAB, you know, into the Sun Belt is because both of those states already have two teams. Anyway, so it seems as if this what Kelly's talking about yesterday is Conference USA's effort to try to keep Southern Miss to in place. But it's over today because the other two conferences, like you said, you know, want to go with what they've got. So the way that I'm reading it and the way that I feel other people are reading it is the AAC, because of television money, will get first pick. Now, we have not seen anything from the AAC that would tell us that Southern Miss would be in their, you know, top, you know, couple schools to pick. Part of that's media market. That's not the AAC would not be interested first and foremost in a media market like Hattiesburg. So Southern Miss may be a second or third choice level of teams. Whereas on the other hand, the Sun Belt looks like they want us. So all that stuff yesterday was Conference USA trying to get Southern Miss to hold in place. And like you said, Kelly, doesn't look like that. And regardless of that, there's just a part of me that wants to go to the Sun Belt and doesn't want to go to the AAC. Yes, is there more money in the AAC? But for how long, once they lose these media markets, you know, with TV deals, the Sun Belt would create a better regional rivalry, easier access to traveling to teams. And you would hope, you know, play people like Lafayette, Coastal Carolina, who's in the top 20 for the second week in a row, and Appalachian State, that they wouldn't get sucked up or taken away, you know, by the AAC trying to get some stuff in there. App State doesn't fit the media market. Lafayette possibly does. But again, I think, Bob, to your point, Sun Belt, best option for the Southern Miss.
You know, we've talked about that for 3 years on this show. Regionally, it makes sense. Rivalries just seem to naturally be there. You and I, Kelly, have talked a lot about what a tremendous baseball conference it's become. And you plug a Southern Miss into baseball program into that conference, and it really becomes a big-time college baseball conference.
And what it Southern Miss, let's just continue that subject of baseball. Southern Miss brings something to the table.
They sure do.
In baseball.
They sure do.
So if you know, forget football right now, and basketball has seen its struggles. You know, we're looking for things to be better this year. But the first question is why would anybody want us? Baseball.
In a region, in a part of the country where college baseball is very important, too.
And as Jeremy McClain said, the rich history of football and what they're expecting, you know, in the future. Now, as far as the AAC goes, UAB has been talked about quite a bit.
I can see that.
But the problem, here's the problem with the AAC is, and you can use a country club comparison. It's one thing for people wanting to belong to a country club, but there are different prices for different country clubs, all right? And as far as the AAC goes, that is a really expensive country club, not only to get into, but your annual fees that go along to continue to be. It's not just a one-and-done thing where you write them a big check and then you're in. You got to keep writing those big checks.
Right, and here's what I took from our conversation, guys, with Jeremy McClain a couple of weeks ago when he said to us, it's important to visualize where the conference is going to be in future years. And right now, the Sun Belt looks a lot more solid and secure to me, Luke Johnson, than does the AAC.
And it's because the AAC is trying to figure out how are they going to replace these media markets. How are they going? And that's the reason why that they have, you know, the much better TV deals where each school, I think it's, they get $6, $7, maybe even $8 million a year. And that's very tempting. But what's it going to look like if the AAC goes after more media markets and they replace, you know, Cincinnati with FAU? You know, or I mean, UAB's a better football product. I get that. But when you replace, you know, Houston with UAB, there's going to be a trickle down effect where you don't get as much money because, you know, the strength of the program plus, you may replace, you know, $1 million, you may lose a, you know, $4 million media market or 10 million people media market. I'm talking about people, not dollars, with a, you know, 1 or 2 million eyes. And it's just, yeah, it looks good right now, but I don't think the picking is going to be that good. So put your hedges on who has shown the best leadership in the group of five over the last 5 years, and it's been Sunbelt by far.
And if that assumption, and it's certainly reasonable, that there's less conference money, less TV money that's going to be spent on the AAC, well, the money is still there. If they're giving less to the AAC, what other conference might they have to give more to? The Sunbelt. So you could essentially, they could essentially flip, you know, money deals, you know, if that's the case. That's all hypothetical, but it certainly makes sense.
You just don't want the strong programs in the Sun Belt to move up to the AAC while you're moving to the Sun Belt. But I don't, I feel like the Sun Belt is response. They're going to be like the Mountain West. They're going to convince their teams to stay put. They're going to talk about the, and that's really what the Mountain West did. They told Colorado State and Air Force and these other schools, the AAC is too volatile right now. They just lost 25% of their league. Stay home. You know what we've got. We'll make it worth your while. I feel like the leadership of the Sun Belt will do that. The last thing the Golden Eagles need is a bunch of turnover that they're going into in a conference, and I don't think the Sun Belt's going to end up like that, and that's why I think it's the best destination for us.
And if the AAC were to go belly up, again, it's fun, you know, doing all this speculation, but if the AAC goes belly up, there's a school right down in New Orleans who also has had a pretty good baseball team over the years and a football destination that Southern Miss people love to go to.
Love to see them come back.
The Tulane Green Wave.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, I don't make any bones about it. I'm a big baseball fan. I get excited at the thought of playing in the Sun Belt in baseball with Coastal Carolina, having them at the Pete. Louisiana Lafayette, we know the love that exists between those programs. South Alabama, you know, year in, year out. I just think it would be a great move.
Yeah, but put on your seatbelt.
But as of right now, no one's called me and asked me for my opinion, Kelly. So if they do, you'll be the first. I'll let them know. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on this Tuesday, brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. Great instruction, great training facilities. It's all there on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Absolutely excellent batting cages. Even the computers on a few of those show you where you hit the ball, how far you hit the ball, and then, of course, 70 yards of indoor turf on the D1 training side. Website, DBAT Hattiesburg, DBAT D1, proud sponsors of the Eagle Hour. Lady Eagles hitting the golf ball well at the Lady Red Wolves Classic, sponsored by Arkansas State, up at the Sage Meadows Golf Club in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Through round three, Southern Miss tied for third, or I'm sorry, alone in third place behind Eastern Kentucky. And, hey, guys, you'll never believe who's right in front of us in a golf tournament, South Alabama. There you go. There they are. Lady Jags right ahead. But Lady Eagles ahead right now of Monroe, Arkansas State, Troy, Memphis, Austin Peay, Eastern Kentucky in the lead, South Alabama second. But Lady Eagles right now with two golfers inside the top 15. So a good job up there in Jonesboro's Lady Eagles right now in third place as a team in the Lady Red Wolves Classic. Recapping Conference USA games over the past weekend. Friday, Charlotte defeated FIU 45-33. Marshall defeated Old Dominion 20-13. UAB beat FAU 31-14. Liberty defeated Middle Tennessee 41-13. Missouri edged out North Texas 48-35. UTSA beat Western Kentucky in a shootout 52-46. And of course, the Golden Eagles fell to UTEP 26-13. All right, when you look at Conference USA football standings, and we know where the Eagles are, so not mentioning that. But in the East, Charlotte 4-2 overall, 2-0 in the league. FAU 1-1, Marshall 1-1, Middle Tennessee 1-2, and Western Kentucky, Old Dominion, and FIU rounded it out. In the West, UTSA 2-0, 6-0 overall. UTEP 2-0, 5-1. UAB 2-0 and 4-2. Guys, did we ever think that UTEP would be tied for the lead in the West through six games?
No. No way. But if I would have seen UTEP's schedule, and again, they beat the Eagles, you know, this past weekend, right? But I'm telling you, there's nothing on that schedule to really brag about. I mean, yeah, they're feeling good about themselves, but they're going to start playing some really top-notch teams here coming the rest of the way, and they'll fall from that position. But, I mean, good from them that they're enjoying it now. The biggest disappointment to me has been Marshall. You know,
they're not very good.
They apparently not. And I thought they were really going to be, you know, the cream of the crop.
What do you do when you fire Holiday after he's like the coach of the year?
Doesn't that bring back memories?
Yes.
Things that make you go,
Yeah, doesn't that bring back a few memories of when you fire a long-standing successful coach to, quote, get to the next level?
It's like Bill Santer always said to me, be careful what you ask for.
Right? Yeah, no question.
All right, we didn't get to mention this yesterday because Bob Getty did an excellent job avoiding it by filling up the last minute and a half of the show. So, reminder, New Orleans defeated a certain football team from Washington, 33-22. Not beating up on Bob. He told me off air that he's accustomed to the teams that he pulled for losing. But the sure. Saints did win. We'll unpack that tomorrow with Patrick McGee a little more. But Jameis Winston, four touchdowns. Kamara with 71 yards rushing, 51 also receiving. Bob, it was, you know, it was fairly close until the fourth quarter. Saints kind of pulled away. But what do you think about your football team, 2-3 on the year so far?
Well, they gave up just a bomb touchdown the last play of the first half, which was absurd. Just a Hail Mary, you know, 1 in 1,000 chance pass to the end zone. They don't go cover that. A couple of questionable coaching calls, I thought, going for it one time on 4th and 10 when you could have kicked a 42-yard field goal. But, you know, overall, they're just not very good. And the quarterback, the kid out of Old Dominion, seems to be very average. His was kind of a flash last year against the Bucks in the playoffs. It's just the same old sorry, you know what, Redskins.
Well, they're not the Redskins anymore.
No, to put what Kelly said off air, and this is why sometimes what we say coming right back on, I've been informed by a listener actually that they agree with you that the Redskins should be changed now. The football team should be called Burnt Toast. So Kelly, listener out there hearing you.
This is what happens
through the commercial.
Yeah, this is what happens when I become a fan. I got it. Yeah. Being the Redskins, that says it all. I got really interested this year and enthusiastic about watching the Raiders because I was always a big John Gruden fan. And look what's happened now. And so I asked Kelly before the show if I could get on the Bengals bandwagon, and he said, no.
Everything lately, Bob, you've been touching two turns to you know what.
Right, so stay away from the Bengals.
Hey,
right?
Jamie Collins, Southern Miss, re-signs with the New England Patriots.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Back there with his old boss.
Speaking about NFL, congratulations to our good friend Logan Cook, the punter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, he came right down the road, Highway 98, from outside Columbia. He and his wife, Mary Minger Cook, had their first boy yesterday, first child, baby boy. Cooper, Jack, everybody's healthy. Congratulations, Logan Cook, from all of us on the Eagle Hour.
And Kelly, I do want to remind you, and I did send you a link on your Facebook page, they are extending the contract for your favorite player, the GOAT, Tom Brady.
And I want to know, Luke, did Logan Cook get an invitation from Urban Meyer to celebrate?
Hush.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping. Into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.